Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to ask a simple question this evening, but I want to ask it three times. And in doing so, I will ask three different questions. And the first question is this. Lord's Day 11 tells us that the Son of God, whom the Father sent into the world, is called Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Lord's Day 12 then goes on to ask, why is Jesus called Christ, which means anointed? And the Catechism answers, because he was anointed by the Lord God, the maker of heaven and earth, to be our Savior by being a prophet, priest, and king. A prophet to teach us through his word, a priest to offer himself a sacrifice and to pray for us, and a king to rule over us and to lead us in the ways of God. The real point of the name Christ is that it signifies his appointing and anointing by God, which is to say that he does this work of salvation officially in the power of and on the authority of the Almighty. It's not that Jesus is somehow interfering with God's world. It's not that Jesus is the loving and kind Son over against the wrathful Father. For the whole idea of salvation is the Father's. And the Father himself sent him. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. And now those who confess that Christ came to save them are known as Christians. Why is that? Well, let's ask our questions. First of all, what is a Christian? And perhaps you might answer with the words of the Catechism. Why are you called a Christian? And you might answer with the words of the Catechism, well, because by faith I am a member of Christ, and so I share in his anointing. And that is a very good answer. And in a way, it is a definition of what the question is asking. What is it exactly that we claim about ourselves, though, in this answer? Because sometimes we get on our high horses and we claim all sorts of things for ourselves. And then the Lord has to send some affliction, some difficulty, to remind us that, as a matter of fact, in a certain way, we are not very much at all. We are, in fact, very ordinary people who claim to be members of Christ by faith and share in something pretty wonderful, his anointing by the Holy Spirit. When we say we are members of Christ, we simply mean that we belong to Jesus Christ, and so we belong to his body, the church. And we belong to the church, the body of Christ, only by faith. So it should be a very humble answer we give to this question. Years ago, long before I went into the ministry, I walked into a certain business that I had dealings with regularly, and a chap turned away from a little discussion and said, "Oh, John, I must ask you about that, being a good churchman and all." No, brothers and sisters, we are not good church people, or at least that is not what makes us Christians. Not the way he meant it. You know, being a good, upstanding, faithful member of a local church. We should strive to be all that, of course. But it is not that which makes us Christians. Neither are we, as is sometimes used as a synonym, sort of, gentlemen. Well, of course, we ought to be ladies and gentlemen. We ought to seek to be gracious and kind and helpful and courteous and contributing members of society. But that is not what makes us Christians either. Nor is it that we hold to and seek to practice Christian morality, and maybe to fight against injustice and go about life in a civilized manner, and maybe we belong to the SBCA or the SBCS or Right to Life, or that sort of thing does not make us Christians either. Nor is it that we live by the golden rule. That, you know, perhaps we participate in the 40-hour famine and we send aid to the Yemen or to Syria or Iraq or whatever. Many years ago, I met the representative of an evangelical aid organization who said straight out that that is what being a Christian was. And he was very uncomfortable with me telling him that a Christian was not one who did right, but a Christian was one who freely confessed to doing wrong. And that, brothers and sisters, young people, children, is the answer to the question, why are you called a Christian? That is the definition of a Christian. However much we might be kept from doing some of the really gross and horrible sins and crimes you read about in the Herald or Stuff News, we must never think that we in ourselves are better and could not fall to such things. A Christian is someone who is much more familiar and aware of his sins than his righteousness. Lord, when did we do these good deeds you are talking about? That is what a Christian will say more freely. A person is not a Christian because outwardly he's a member of the church, or because he is an upright and good husband or wife, or because he works to alleviate evil in the world, or because he is gracious and kind and wouldn't hurt a fly. As much as I trust we all strive to be all those things, a Christian is someone who comes to God with his sin and is a member of Christ's body, the church, not because of what I have done for Christ, let alone my fellow man, but by faith in what Jesus Christ has done for me. Nothing in my hands I bring, only to thy cross I cling. So as you came to church today, did you notice somebody else here whom you know is struggling with some great sin? Or caught up in some sinful situation? Or not managing life quite as well as you? Well, perhaps that can't be helped, but what did you do with it? You look over the pew like so and, oh, they're here. Or did it make you offer a silent prayer to God again for that brother and sister of yours? And did it make you say to yourself, yeah, they've got their struggles and I've got mine. God, please forgive me my sins and help me with my struggles. Surely, brothers and sisters, there can't be too much room in our minds for the sins of one another. If we look back over the past week and think about what was going on in our own minds at times. Yes, I am a Christian because by faith alone I am a member of Christ and I share in his anointing with the Holy Spirit. Indeed, if I hadn't received the Holy Spirit, I would never ever really have known my sin. I would never have been able to put my faith and trust in Christ. Yes, I am a Christian by faith in what Jesus Christ has done and because of what the Holy Spirit, whom Christ sent into the world, has done, and that is all. Why are you called a Christian? But now I want to ask the question again. Why are you called a Christian? Because it seems to me the Catechism has actually done rather a funny thing here. It hasn't answered its own question. Or perhaps we should say it didn't ask the right question in the first place. Because it certainly hasn't answered the question it wanted to ask. Now it's true The matter of question 32, why are you called a Christian, follows perfectly logically upon question and answer 31. But let's just take the question as it is worded and answer it, because it's extremely important. For the question doesn't ask, why are you a Christian? What makes you a Christian? It doesn't ask for a definition of what is a Christian. It asks, why are you called a Christian? It doesn't ask what you think of or believe about yourself. It asks, what do others think about you? What do others call you? The first time the word Christian was ever used was when unbelievers looked at these people in the church in Corinth and called them Christians. Why did they do that? What was there about these people that made the Gentiles in Antioch call them Christians? There was something about them that identified them with Jesus Christ. They weren't just believers. They were worshippers. They were disciples. They lived under the discipleship and the training of Jesus Christ, and it showed. Well, as I pointed out earlier, people are called Christians today for all sorts of reasons, and many of them wrong. But if we could turn the clock back and Christianity was something new in the world, would people look at us here in the Reformed Church of Cornwall Street in Christchurch and come up with that name for us? Could people look at us and see that we are so anointed with the Holy Spirit that we really do share in Christ's anointing? I don't mean that they would necessarily express it like that. Almost certainly they wouldn't. But nevertheless, it would be obvious that we are prophets, priests, and kings to God through Jesus Christ by the way we live. True. We become Christians by faith in what God has done for us as he works in us through Christ as a prophet, priest, and king. But we become Christians so that by sharing in that anointing of the Holy Spirit with Christ, we now do things for God as prophets and priests for God. Why are you called a Christian? Because by faith, I am a member of Christ, and so I share in his anointed. I'm anointed, one, to be a prophet, to confess his name, two, to be a priest and present myself to him as a living sacrifice of thanks, and three, to be a king, striving with a good conscience against sin and the devil in this life, even as Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And then afterward to reign with Christ victoriously over all creation for all eternity. As the world looks at us, brothers and sisters, what do they see? Do they see prophets proclaiming God's word, confessing God's name? We read Romans 10. With the heart we believe that we will be righteous with God, and with the mouth we confess his name and are saved. The Apostle Peter tells us that we have been chosen and made God's own possession so that we may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Do people see us doing that? In the midst of all the struggles and disappointments and sadnesses, are our lives shot through with joy? I don't mean the running laughter of the partygoer and the unbeliever. I don't mean the incessant jocular patter of the MCs who conduct far too much of what is called worship in too many of what are called churches today. I mean the deep, quiet joy of the knowledge that all things come to us not by chance, but from his fatherly hand. And so we can be patient when things go against us and thankful when things go well. And for the future, we can have good confidence in our faithful God and Father that nothing will separate us from his love. Can the world see whole lives as a proclamation of that peace and that joy and that resting in the providence of God? Do they see priests? A priest is someone who is wholly dedicated to God in every area of life, church, home, school, business, wherever. Are our lives dedicated to God? Do our homes run to a different agenda than our neighbours? Do we have different values? Are different things important to us? The way we use our time, the way we use our talents, what we're willing to sacrifice to obedient to the Lord. You know, some people in our churches don't like the term Sunday Sabbath. It's apparently Old Testamentish or something. They rather prefer the Lord's Day. Well, fine, I'm easy with that. But that means then the whole day is dedicated to the Lord. Is it? His worship, his people should be our delight as well. When people look at us, do they see kings? Do they see people actually running their own lives according to standards and expectations that are different from the standards and expectations of the world, and that fit actually the standards and expectations of our King? Thinking about life and the world, how to bring it under the rule of Jesus Christ. Yes, we do it with church. We attempt to do it with education. We attempt to do it with our children. Do we do it in our business? Do we do it in our politics, as and if we're involved in that? Do we do it in our relaxation, in our entertainment, in our music? More basically, the Catechism says, does the world see us so ruling our spirits that we more and more grow in grace and live above, in a certain sense, the circumstances and difficulties of life, so that the circumstances and difficulties of life don't rule us? They don't throw us off balance. They don't throw us into a slough of despond. Or at least, not for too long. What does Psalm 37 say about the righteous man? Though he fall, he shall not be cast down, so that he doesn't get up again. Does the world see us this way, brothers and sisters? Not do we call ourselves Christians, but does the world call us Christians because we so obviously follow Jesus Christ? As he is, so are we, prophets, priests, and kings. That's what Christians are. And that is why the world gave these people the name Christian in Antioch that day. Would they give us the same name? Well, let's ask the question one more time, because the question is very specific and very pointed, just as the whole catechism is. What is your only comfort in life and in death? What must you, singular, know to live and die in the joy of this comfort? How does the holy conception and birth of Christ benefit you? And so forth. Why are you called a Christian? And you answer, as a good Orthodox Reformed Christian, because by faith I am a member of Christ, and so I share in his anointing. Well, we're back where we start again. Started, aren't we, really? Now, I simply want to ask each one of you, can you really say, I, by faith alone, belong to Jesus Christ. Now, if I knew you a little better, I might go around and name a few of you. Can you say, by faith in Jesus Christ alone and not through anything that I have or have ever done, for that reason alone, I say, I may be called a Christian? You older people, what will you say to God when you meet him tomorrow or next year or maybe 10 years? Will you say, well, Lord, you know, I've been a faithful member of this actual congregation since it was founded or very near. And remember, Lord, it hasn't always been easy. But I've stuck with it all these years, you know. Or will you say, well, Lord, people say funny things sometimes. Young people have said that they look up to me as an example. And I'm heartily thanked when I leave session or by the Bible study or the women's group or something else in the church. But Lord, you know my heart and you know it better than me. So Lord, will you please forgive me my many sins through all of these years of your faithfulness to me? And yes, Father, I am still only trusting in Jesus Christ. I own nothing else. Others who were with me at the beginning have gone. Some have thrown over the faith completely. And I'm still here only because of the Holy Spirit's work in my heart. Is that what you will say? You, who are in middle age, in the full flight of a busy life, in the midst of everything else you have to do, you have to fit in church, and you have to fit in a family Bible reading, and you have to fit in a time for some personal communion with the Lord. Or are you able also to say, Lord, in all my busyness in the service of your kingdom, all this time spent teaching catechism or cadets and gems or, you know, whatever activity it is, all that I give to your church from the good income that you've given me. And I know we have to do these things, Lord, and in fact I want to do them and I do them gladly, but I know that in them all, I am never very far from thinking how good I am in doing them all. And really, how pleased you must be with me, even more so perhaps than some of these older people. It is a real pity that some of these others in the church haven't made the same strides in sanctification that I have. Lord, these thoughts often want to make themselves felt in my mind, and so really, Lord, even as a Christian, when I want to do good, evil is right there with me. So, Lord, please be merciful to me and forgive me again by the blood of Jesus Christ. He's the only reason why you should ever bother with me. His worthiness is the only worthiness I could ever have, and I have it only by grace. You young people, yes, I know, I've heard it many times. Ah, yeah, sure, I believe. I'm not asking you what you say you believe. I'm asking you, would other people call you a Christian? And I want you to stop and take time to think about it a little. Do you really know what it means to say, through faith alone, I belong to Jesus Christ? For that also means that you say about yourself, in myself, I'm just a full-blown sinner. Not just the other girl who goes wild partying, and well, we all know what goes on there. Not just the other bloke who smokes marijuana and shoplifts and swears behind his parents' back and laughs at the church, and as soon as he's able, he'll be off. I also, who barely miss a catechism class, who supports youth group, who actually comes to church twice. Young people, we don't belong to Christ because we do or don't do certain things. We belong to Jesus Christ because however better than the other bloke or girl we might be, over against the holiness of God, that is only a comparison between Denver, Colorado and the Grand Canyon. Denver, Colorado, of course, is the Mile High City. Grand Canyon is not too far from it, and that is a mile deep. From a space satellite, they don't look too different. God's righteousness is further from the best of our righteousness than the space satellite itself, let alone those 2 miles between Mile High City and the bottom of the Grand Canyon. Ah, yeah, I know all that, you say. No, no. You need to stop. You need to think. You need to listen to your own conscience for a little. For if it is in tune with the Lord, it will accuse you. I, at my age, with my clean sheet, have grievously sinned against God and all his commandments. I've never kept any of them rightly, and I'm still inclined to all evil. If your conscience doesn't so accuse you, then it's not in tune. And you need to read your word. You need to read your Bible. And you need to ask the Lord to open up its meaning to you. Well, that is a reality for all of us. And therefore, we all ought to be praying, O Lord, please put faith in my heart, that I also may believe and so be saved and be a member of your church. And remember that I am always only ever a Christian by faith, and never rest on my laurels and think I have made it. And even though it must be perfectly obvious to all from my life and behavior that I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, are you called a Christian? Are you called a Christian? May the Lord be merciful and save us all. And remember also the scripture that says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed, will not be let down.